What's up? This is PR, and you're now listening to Respect the Game, the Slam podcast on Winner's Circle Media.
What's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh from Slam Magazine, aka Jeremy Lin's haircut. Lim's super relaxed in the studio. Very first edition of the Respect the Game Slam podcast on Winner's Circle Media. Shouts to Paul Rivera. Very happy to be here. I got my man with me, Abe Schwadrid. Abe, what's good, bro?
Yeah, what up? This is Abe from Slam, a.k.a. White Iverson. Ready to set things off with this podcast, man. Happy to be here.
Yo, before we start, man, how you living? I saw, you're out here flexing on Instagram, as you do so often, over at the Foot Locker event.
Yeah. Shouts to Foot Locker for a week of greatness party last night. Very lit. Everyone from the sneaker community was there. It was a good time.
And then, of course, you spent time with Coney Island's finest, Jamel Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Jamel Thomas.
A.K.A. Jamel Thomas.
A.K.A. 530.
Of course. A.K.A. The Beautiful Struggle. If you haven't already, go make sure, you at least check out some clippings on the Lloyd Sweepy Daniels documentary.
Man, go see the whole movie.
Yes, of course. I mean, it is playing in New York tonight. Thursday in Chelsea. I believe tickets are still available. Carmelo Anthony produced.
Don't be that guy that someone asks you, yo, you know who Lloyd Daniels is? And you say, oh, the dude from Dumb and Dumber? Because someone told me that. The person will go remain unnamed, remain anonymous, but Jesus. Yeah, do your Googles.
Or you know what? Don't even be the guy that has to do his Googles. Just go see the flick. Tonight, New York City, Chelsea, I believe, I can't remember what theater it's at, but do your Googles for the theater. 7:30, Abe and I will both be in the building.
Or tweet us.
Or tweet us, I'm sure.
Tweet us, tweet Slam, tweet Ben Osborne.
Yeah.
We'll set you straight.
Make sure, harass Ben Osborne for the tickets. But anyway, glad to finally get this, in true Slam fashion. We're 3 weeks into the season already, and we're just starting our first podcast. So
it wouldn't be right if we were a little late to the party.
Late pass, but we're here. That's what matters most. Mm-hmm. Definitely, going to be off the cuff. Very little fact checking or research done.
Again, wouldn't be Slam's podcast without.
So expect us to overhype multiple people. Expect us to get a lot of things wrong, but fuck it, we're gonna have a lot of fun regardless.
I was about to say, expect some cursing too.
So oh my god, yes.
If you're in the car with your 12-year-old son, apologize.
He'll be all right, man. He'll be all right.
He's read worse in the pages of Slam. Already, yeah, so.
Exactly.
Fuck it.
Exactly. But anyway, I guess let's get right into it with some big news. Yeah. Kevin McHale just got axed yesterday. Can't say I'm too shocked. Houston is playing terribly at the moment, just getting embarrassed, coming off of a huge year where they were number two in the West, got bumped in the Western Conference Final. James Harden has an amazing year, finishes second in the MVP, wins the Players Award MVP for whatever that's worth. They come out and they shit the bed. They get Ty Lawson, who has just not been playing well. He's not been a good fit.
Hasn't fit in.
Harden is struggling. He's putting up big numbers, but he's looking pretty uninspired out there. Dwight Howard plays every other game at this point. I feel like their best offseason acquisition this year has been like Marcus Thornton, who's been playing really well for them.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is they start out 0-4, right? And then they come right back with four W's, and you're like, all right, they've righted the ship, like everything's gonna be fine. Or they were 0-3 to start, whatever. And now they're right back to 4-7. Like, it's just like when it's bad, it's worse, and then it just became a train wreck. And I mean, it's not even McHale's fault,
That's the thing. Do you think they should have pulled the plug on him this quickly? Do you think he proved that they won a shitload of games last year, a ton of games. So, he's proven he can do in this league. He won championships as a player. He's coached for years and years and years.
It's just one of those things, like, you can't fire the coach, you can't fire the players, essentially. Right. Everything's going to shit, and you're not going to, be like, all right, James Harden, you've got to go. They had to make a change, and the only change to make is the coach.
Yeah, Daryl Morey is not going to he's not going to kick himself out of the front office. So,
nah.
I don't know. I mean, are we looking at a case where, speaking of Daryl Morey, is it, did they go too deep with the analytics and sacrifice that for team chemistry and guys who don't get along with each other? And, you know, on paper and numbers wise, they look great, but the finished product is, you know, a slow start and getting bumped last year and the year before.
I mean, to me, it seems so early, so early. I mean, I know that some of these losses have been god awful and some of the chemistry stuff, you know, we're not there in Houston every day in the locker room, whatever, figuring out what's going on. I mean, God, the way that they lost to the Celtics, which was the most recent loss. I mean, God damn.
Like, dude, in like 15 minutes, they went from being up 5 to down 30. You know, it was insane. You don't see that. And the team doesn't hustle on defense, you know, but could they just be a bunch of knuckleheads? Like, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Mikhail got a lot out of them last year. I don't know. I agree with you. I think it was way too early to pull the plug.
But I mean, then again, like in the Western Conference, you can't really wait. Like, you got to get going. Like, if you wait too long, you're going to be out of it. There's too many good teams in the West. Like, I definitely, you know, I respect the making a move. There's too many teams in the NBA that will pussyfoot around and not make any moves whatsoever and just kind of stay the course, status quo, and they don't go anywhere. So I at least respect the Rockets for stepping up and making a move. I just wonder if this particular one is going to really have any huge impact on their season.
Right, and you say you can't pussyfoot around the West, but many teams have pussyfooted around the West to start this season. You look at OKC, 6-5. The Nuggets, 6-5. Utah, 5-5. Those are the 6-7-8 seeds. Outside of, you know, Golden State and the Spurs, who are 12-0, 8-2 respectively, you know, these teams, you know, Dallas is 7-4 and they're sitting at 3. And, you know, that's a team a lot of people pegged to miss the playoffs this year. So, you know, I feel like, Is the gap closing now? Like, is the West starting to weaken a little bit? Could you ride this thing out a little longer?
I mean, it's so hard to say, right? Because, like, yeah, they could have ride it out a little longer. But what if you start dipping? Now you're 4-9. You win a couple games. Now you're 5-12. Like, it just, when does that point come? So for me, like, if nothing else, firing the coach should wake up the players. Like, yo, the fuck is going on here? Like, we read, you know, over the last 48 hours or so that they've had a players only meeting over the weekend. Like, you know, part of that was some guys, you know, voicing their concerns with James Harden is kind of, you know, getting lost on defense or laziness. It's not just
That's
Harden.
Nothing new though.
It's nothing new. And it's not just Harden. There's, you know, entire YouTube clips out there of dudes just losing their man in transition, especially against the Celtics. I mean, there's a vine of like Terrence Jones not running back on D and this guy gets an easy dunk. Like, these guys have to take some accountability, you know, 1 through 15 on the roster. Obviously it starts with Harden, but I mean,
and when,
shit,
I mean, when
like,
you start
some pride,
when you start Harden, Lawson and Thornton as your three guards, you're going to get burned on defense. And so much of the reason they were able to succeed was because they had Dwight Howard behind them to make up for, you know, especially Harden last year, especially since considering Lawson and Thornton weren't on the team. But, you know, Dwight Howard was able to make up for a lot of their mistakes because he's so good around the rim, and he's barely been playing. So, you know, I hate to see a coach get fired, because like Mikhail seems like a generally good guy, and I think he is a good coach, and he's you know, one of the best players the league has ever seen. He's probably he's a top 50 player, right?
Who?
Mikhail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just feel like you don't want to see the league lose a good guy like that. He'll bounce back somewhere. I don't know. Maybe he'll, Matt, what if he goes like Sacramento? He's like Boogie's coach, or like, you know, he just falls into some sort of situation like that.
I mean, yo, you got to give Mikhail credit. I mean, he even said that he wasn't surprised by getting axed, but like,
nah,
what he did with this team last year, I don't think anybody would disagree. They overachieved in 2014-15 going all the way to the Western Conference Finals without, you know, Dwight Howard's back acting up, you know, Beverly goes out, all that stuff. You know, give Harden credit too for carrying the team that far, but like, it's really hard for me to pin a lot of this on Kevin Mikhail. It comes at the expense of the way that this business works.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, that is why you get rid of a guy so early, because they are a championship. They were pegged as a championship contender and one of the best teams in the West. So anyway, not to hammer this home any longer.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're getting real depressed here. Can we be happy for a minute?
First podcast, getting wild sad. So let's talk about a good team. Let's talk about a fun team. Staying in the West, the Golden State Warriors.
Oh my God, the most fun team.
Like unreal, unbelievably fun.
The Warriors are going to lose so many hours of sleep for so many people on the East Coast this year.
I'm already like, it's 12 games into the season. I'm already dying. And
yeah, hell yeah.
And I mean, Steph Curry, unbelievable. Whatever. We don't need to go through all the accolades. Everybody knows. My thing is, when are they going to lose? They're currently sitting at 12-0. They got the Clippers tonight, and then they play the Bulls this weekend. And then their schedule lightens up a lot, and they don't really play anybody good between now and Christmas Day. So I think they'll be like, I mean, I'm going to go on record and say I really truly believe that they could probably go like, I mean, I don't want to say 29-0, but maybe 27-2 heading into Christmas. I don't think it's that outlandish. I think they're just head and shoulders are better than everybody else.
I mean, if they stay healthy, there's no reason they should lose, you know, at Nuggets. They should not lose at Suns, Kings, Jazz, Hornets, like none of these
right?
teams.
Like that Jazz game might be a trap game just because they're so good defensively, but still, like, you can't stop shooting. You can't stop them when they're playing well. It doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to give a lot of props to them because everybody was saying in the offseason, like, oh, there's no way they could do this again. They got lucky last year. Coach Kerr is out. Everybody was injured that they played last year. There's no way they're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. Well, listen up, dipshits. They fucking they're doing it again, and they're doing it even better. And, you know, we spoke at the top of the season, and we did, like, some of our preseason picks, and I said that, you know, Steph Curry is going to come back better. Klay Thompson is going to come back better. Draymond Green is going to come back better. This team won 62 games last year, right? 67 games last year, something like that.
Yeah,
something crazy. So, I mean, for people to be like, oh, they're going to get worse. Like, I never bought into that. And I give them a lot of props for not coming out and playing, like getting off to a slow start, like totally. The Rockets, and, you know, looking lazy like the Cavs have in some games and saying, you know what? A lot of people say the regular season doesn't matter. It matters to us, and we're going to show you why.
I mean, like looking at Steph Curry's stats is like literally unbelievable shit. Like, he makes 5.2 threes a game. He makes 5 threes. You know how ridiculous that is?
Like, he's going to smash so many records this year and throughout his career, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. You know, you did a cover story, our last cover story on him, and you got the chance to talk to him. So, you know, he's getting pulled in like a million directions. So, you know, what was his mind state like, you know, when you were, I'm sure it was a brief conversation, but, you know, he's really generous with his time. Was he cool?
Yeah. He's mad cool. I mean, like you said, like, he had one of the craziest summers running around. You know, he was doing his tour in Asia. He had sneaker commitments, you know, playing golf with Obama. Like, he was everywhere, being pulled in every direction. Like you said, he went back to Davidson just to do a little, like, he just wanted to go say hi to his former teammates and some coaches and stuff. All of a sudden, it became like this, like, statewide, you know, event that he was there.
Had a new baby as well.
Yeah. But, like, you know, and speaking to him and speaking to his trainer, this dude Brandon from Accelerate Basketball in Charlotte, basically he basically moved his trainer out to the Bay at the end of last season. So imagine coming off the finals and the first thing you do is call your trainer and say, yo, I need you to move out to the West Coast and, like, be with me day to day basis.
I mean, you're not gonna find a guy more committed to his craft than him.
I mean, they were working out at odd times, you know, 5 a.m 10 p.m whenever they could fit it in. I mean, if you go, like, look up his workouts, they're insane. Like, the stuff that he does is totally insane. Like, that to even ask him to do. And that's one of the things that his trainer was saying. Like, he has to literally go home and, like, make up shit in his mind to make Steph Curry go through different drills, because he's so good at normal basketball drills that there's literally no point in putting him through a normal basketball drill.
He's like a basketball savant, man. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people started to take LeBron for granted a little bit. You know, especially when he was in Miami and they were just reeling off wins and making it to the finals. It's really, really, really hard to win in the NBA on a nightly basis and to make it that far in the playoffs. The season is long. It's a grind. For them to be doing what they're doing is, it's unbelievable. And I think if you're not watching them already, make it a must-see.
Like I'm sorry, but fuck like Monday Night Football. Fuck Panthers, Colts. Like, get League Pass, get an illegal stream, whatever you got to do. Like, watch these games because Steph is liable to do literally something crazy every single time he touches the ball.
I think he's going to go for 80 one night, and I don't think that's that far of a stretch.
Nah, so he's not going to go for 80.
All right, I've already said leave it,
but he'll go for 40 in the first half and then never and just stay in the locker room, say fuck it. Like,
all right, so I've already said they're going to go 29-0, and Steph's going to score 80. So I've never felt more confident in any prediction I've ever made.
I've never felt more confident you just jinxed this shit out of their whole season.
Nah, chill. if they beat the Clippers tonight, I don't think they're going to be stopped for a while. But anyway, you know, speaking of people you got to like go see and, you know, if teams are in your town or your city that you got to hit and put the money up for a ticket. LeBron James was in New York last week against the Knicks, and I was fortunate enough to go. Unbelievable performance, excuse me. This is a guy, and I've only seen him live, I think this is like the third time. And once was an all-star game, so it's kind of like whatever, wasn't super competitive. But he did about four or five things on the basketball court in like a 13-minute span that pretty much nobody else in the world can do. Whether it's like the little thing, like where he'll hit a baseline fadeaway, and then as he's running back, like he doesn't even like think about, holy shit, I just hit like one of the most amazing shots in my career. He's like directing the whole defense on the fly. So like, if just to see that live and the mental capacity he has is amazing. So, and the Cavs are currently 8-2, and I feel like it's a really quiet 8-2, and they've kind of just been dominating
8-3.
And you know, he's doing it without Kyrie Irving, who is probably their second best player. I guess, you know, Kevin Love is like kind of,
I mean, Kevin Love low key been balling this year, but I would tend to agree.
Yeah. So, you know, the Cavs, and I'm not ready to hand the MVP. I know we just gave Steph all these accolades and everything. I'm not ready to hand the MVP to him.
Oh, I am.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
you would be a like real stupid person to put your money right now on any other person.
My man just called me stupid.
I just stared directly in your face when I said that. All praise, all due respect to LeBron. I just think you'd be out of your mind to go anywhere but with Curry.
Wait,
right,
is that
now
that insane? I mean,
it has nothing to do with LeBron. I just think the way that Steph is, he's averaging 5 more points per game than any other player in the league.
Okay.
He's a machine.
Okay.
You just said they're not going to lose for like 3 months.
Okay, you're right. But it doesn't, MVP doesn't necessarily mean best player and best team, right?
I just don't think LeBron's going to like play enough minutes and games, even if he says he wants to play them all.
Look, man, I don't know. I think he's got a real chip on his shoulder this year. And you know, that's a, obviously a cliche thing to say, but I think it pissed him off a lot that one, they lost in the finals last year because, I mean, the Warriors just went off, but he also had to deal with like those injuries despite playing his ass off. And two, I think he believed he should have been MVP last year. I think he really, really thought, you know, I'm the best player in the league. He said it himself during the finals press conference, I'm the best player in the world. You know, he's just not going to lay down and, you know, willingly hand the league to Steph Curry and the Warriors.
No, I'm not at all. I mean, look, I mean, yesterday a story came out where it's not really a story, but somebody asked LeBron just, you know, about kind of like the landscape of the NBA. He basically admitted that, like, yeah, I'm keeping an eye on the Warriors and what they're doing. So, I mean, I agree with you that he's not ready to quote unquote hand it over, but it might not be his choice anymore. It might have been ripped out of his hands.
So Christmas Day, we're going to have the 29-0 Warriors taking on the 24-5 Cavs. And Kyrie Irving's first game back Christmas Day.
Potentially. He's been very, pretty secretive about like his return date, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, you know, hitting on a few smaller topics. Brandon Knight had a big week. His first triple double. He's leading the Suns. They're playing well. They're currently sitting at number 4 in the West at 6-4.
I mean, first of all, right off top, before you even go into like how he's actually playing, his stats, the Suns, their backcourt, blah, 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 blah. Just we got to just give a massive shout out to Brandon Knight for getting dunked on like that many times, being the subject of that much like internet, you know, just assholes just commenting and for mocking you and
two teams
going on
just
you.
Give up on you.
Two teams give up on you. Like 99% of dudes would have just been like, all right, like I suck. Like I'm just going to go. Where's my spot on the end of the bench? Like, you know.
Yeah. He's one of those low key guys that, you know, you just look at his numbers, you're like, wow, like Brandon Knight is balling and not getting the love he deserves. So we're gonna do it. We're gonna give him the love he deserves. And
I mean, look, when he got traded last year, he was the best. He was the best player
on the Bucks.
On the Bucks,
hands down.
And they traded him away,
which was looking real
strange.
It's looking real suspect.
Looking real sus right now.
Looking wild sus. I mean, Michael Carter Williams, you and I are both fans. I think. I mean, I know I am. We
certainly was.
Yeah. I mean, we both did stories on him early in his career.
Yep.
For the mag, and yo, do your Googles if you haven't read those already. I did mine when he was at Syracuse. He did his rookie year in Philly.
Sixers.
But that trade is not looking good at the moment, and I don't know how much say Jason Kidd had in this trade. I don't know how much he believed he can mold any player, any point guard to be very, very good, but you know, the Bucks kind of suck when he plays.
You know what's funny? I actually have a friend who, again, will go, a different friend who will go unnamed again, but who will constantly, like almost every Bucks game, I'll get a text that he thinks that Grievous Vasquez should be playing every single one of Carter Williams's minutes.
I can't really disagree with that Grievous Vasquez can at least, he's proved he can lead a team. And
I love Grievous Vasquez he's one of the top 15 coolest guys in the league. And I certainly respect his skills. Did a lot.
You got the coolest things. Players ranking. And
I don't have it like in front of me, but if you want me to like go off top,
the life and times of Eve Schwadron,
I can certainly go off top.
Now we're good. We'll skip that.
Every single rookie for and then
fact.
I don't know where I was going with that. You're but saying, my basic point is that, you know,
well, him and Jared Bayless have severely outplayed Carter Williams this year.
Essentially, yeah.
Which is crazy. And like the Bucks, I was super high on them heading into the year, and I definitely wasn't the only one. And they just have not looked very good. I'm not going to.
I mean, Jabari's hurt again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to give up on them, which is concerning because that's the same. It's his right foot again. Reports came out yesterday that he's going to play tonight, Thursday, which is their TNT game, right? I believe they're on TNT tonight. And I can't remember the last time the Bucks played on TNT. Please, actually, if we're going to fact check anything, let's fact check this. So did you look it up?
Nah.
Oh God, I saw you typing over there. I was getting excited.
Bucks. I mean, they do play at the Cavs tonight, so.
Okay, so that's definitely
check your local listings.
That's definitely the TNT game if they're all playing right, the Cavs. I can't remember last time they were on TNT. So, but that,
they got their doors blown off by the Wizards
on Tuesday.
Last game, yeah.
Yeah. So Barry's gonna play, but you know, coming back off that knee injury and now the foot, and this is this. I checked with our boy Franklin Kaye. This is the same foot he broke when he was a senior in high school and missed 6 months with. So, you know, mildly concerning. You know, we love Barry. We want to see him play well, of course. And we want to see him and Giannis and Greg Monroe and all these guys on the court together. But they've been terrible on defense, and that was a big thing for them last year. That's why they were so successful. So, you know, they were fifth in the East last year, and now they're sitting at 5-6, obviously super early, but you know, not the young, exciting team we thought they were going to be. They're pretty boring to watch.
They're bottom five in the East in terms of points against per game, which obviously isn't the end all be all for your defensive stats, but ew. Yeah. Not to mention the Wizards are last in that category in the East. But
yeah, you want to take 30 seconds to wax poetically about the Wiz here?
Nah, and, I mean, I don't even want to really like delve into that. But you know, that's my team. So
anyway, all right. So shouts to Brandon Knight. Shouts to him and Eric Bledsoe both putting on both Coach Cal guys, which is dope. Shouts to Archie Goodwin, also a Cal guy on the Suns. And I don't know. We're totally stalling for time here.
You know what's strange? I think I saw a stat where like they have the Suns have those four Kentucky guys, because Devin Booker.
Oh, true. Well. I forgot. Yeah.
And I don't think any of them played together. They're all so young, which is so strange.
So, yeah, because Goodwin was the year, was after, so Bledsoe was after Knight. Goodwin was after the two of them, and then Booker was, because the team, Goodwin played on.
Bledsoe
played with John Wall.
09 and 10. Yeah. Knight was the season after that. Oh, Goodwin was the season after that. Yeah, because, and, or two seasons after that, and Booker was two seasons after that. So yeah, basically,
Knight didn't win a national championship. None of those guys won a national championship.
It's
which is crazy.
How weird is that? You could have that many young guys, yeah, like neither, under the age of,
I don't think any of them are 25.
Under the age of Bledsoe's 25, he's the oldest.
That's insane.
Booker's like one of the youngest guys in the league. I think he's still 18, but
right?
You have that many Cal Kentucky guys under the age of 25, and none of them played together before.
It's wild. And that team Goodwin played on sucked, and they had Nerlens, I think. And he's Cauley Stein. Nerlens looks pretty terrible, man, offensively.
Whew.
I was unfortunately watching the Sixers game the other night when they were playing the Mavs.
Yo, yeah. I wanted to bring this up, but the Sixers, not to cut you off.
No, cut me off, bro.
But
I got no point.
Do the Sixers have the number one, like, in the history of basketball, like highest contrast ratio of nicest jerseys to most ass team actually playing in them? Those jerseys are so dope, like so patriotic and throwback, old school, clean, and then they're just garbage.
Are we talking just this year?
Yeah, like one season.
I mean, I've always really liked the Lakers jerseys, and they're trash.
Oh my god! All right, fair enough.
So, but you know, shout out to TJ McConnell for dabbing out here. Shout out to Jahlil Okafor, who's actually looked insanely good early on. And that's really about as far as I'll go with the shout outs for the Sixers.
His post game is crazy.
Oh, like, I saw him spin base. Like, his hands are insane. Like,
people will bump him and shove him and poke the ball away, and he still, like, stays balanced, stays on his feet, and gets right to the cup.
Crazy. I saw him. I was watching that game against the Mavs earlier this week. Saw him get bumped, spin baseline, and bring the ball up and under on the other side of the basket and score easily. Like, he was unstoppable for moments of that at that game. He's 19 years old. It's crazy.
Rookie of the year?
Nah, I mean, man. We got to give it to Porzingis.
Jahlil Okafor averaging more than 19 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Like, that's nasty. I don't care what team you're on.
I mean, this is almost why the Rookie of the Year award is like almost pointless, because they're 0-11. They suck.
Facts.
They suck. And
no, yeah, I actually think right now it would be Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
You know,
and not just because they're winning, because he's been playing his ass off as well, and he looks great. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was looking at the cover we did with all the rookies, I guess, with like
from last year,
with Wiggins and Barry and all those guys, and might have been a year early.
Definitely was a year early.
Yeah.
I mean, a beautiful cover, and shout out to every single dude on that cover.
Shout out to TJ Warren, who I had to go back and look up who that was.
Oh man,
Which is,
we got some other. One day we'll tell some other funny stories from that cover shoot as well.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
But real quick about the rookies, particularly D'Angelo Russell, you know, they're 11 games into the season, 12 games into the season, and people are ready to give up on this kid already. Don't. It's way too early. Like, I'll see where he's at year 3 and 4 before I'll make like a, if he's still playing trash. I mean, he got put in the worst situation.
Yeah, like, I don't even have enough respect for what the Lakers are doing to give it airtime, but like, how he needs more minutes, man. It's the number 2 pick in the draft. This isn't like, you know, like I had a chance to hang out with DeLon Wright before the season, first round pick of the Raptors. He's basically been nailed to the bench. I don't think he's played more than 5 minutes per game, but he's a late first round pick.
And they're
he's
good.
There to learn. They're a good team.
He's not going
to
play with Kyle Lowry, you know?
So he'll learn, and he could be okay with that role. D'Angelo Russell, number 2 pick in the draft. You got to roll him out there and let him make mistakes. Let him play. Byron Scott's like yanking him for one turnover.
For Lou Williams.
Yeah, or Marcelo Huertas.
Like, come on. time.
Oh, that's what I want to say about Brandon Knight, by the way. Just given the one of the nastiest crossovers to Huertas.
Is this the Brandon Knight revenge tour? I'm all in on that.
I mean, no way D'Angelo Russell was letting that happen to him. He would just fall back. He might not contest the shot, but
no.
He's not on SportsCenter getting embarrassed.
No, Byron Russell is off the shits, man. I don't know what he's doing out here. He like clearly, I don't even want to say he's in over his head because he's been a coach before. He's just like dumb, I guess. I don't know. I went to that game when they were at Brooklyn, I guess like 2 weeks ago, and like D'Angelo's having a good game and he gets ganked for Lou Williams. Like no disrespect to Lou Williams.
Shots, no shots.
No, none whatsoever. But come on, dog. Like Lou Williams, we know who Lou Williams is at this point in his career. Like, we have no idea what D'Angelo Russell is. And we're not going to know if you go out there and you play him 20 minutes a night and pull him after he makes one mistake and to have no communication. And like Byron Scott's method of coaching is telling his guys to man up. Like that's the stupidest thing. That's what you tell like a high school kid. Like, come on, bro. Stupid. And you're just gonna roll Kobe out there who's not gonna play next year and who's not gonna play in every game this year. I mean, that's already been, he'll probably play like 45 games, 50 games if he can even make that. So you gotta let your rooks ride, man. You gotta see what you got in Randall and D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson and let them take their lumps because it's only gonna help them in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, then you look at like Moutier is playing 31 minutes a game,
and he's playing well, really well.
Yeah, I mean, arguably proving why he maybe should have even gone ahead of Russell, but that's not even the point. That point is moot. Like he's on your team now, so roll him out there.
Okay, the one thing I will say about Russell that does raise a bit of a red flag is one, and I don't know how much this counts, and I actually texted this to you yesterday, is, you know, how many guys who went to Ohio State have like balled out in the league that you can remember off the top? So you got to look it up. That's the thing. Like if you say how many guys who went to Kentucky have balled out, so you know how many guys have went to Duke balled out, Kansas balled out,
right?
So Ohio State, you got, if you want to, if we're going back, Jim Jackson, Mike Conley.
I was gonna say the obvious one right now, at least at his position, and strangely enough, is a lefty as well, is Mike Conley.
Michael Redd.
Shouts to him. shouts to Scoony Penn while we're at it. As long as we're sitting in that era.
So I'll never bang with Ohio State because they beat that Artest St. John's team in the tournament on like a bullshit call. I remember that when I was a kid.
Evan Turner?
Yeah, exactly. Like, sick. Evan Turner, Greg Oden.
Evan Turner, who...
Jared Sullinger.
Evan Turner, whose agent, like, freaked the fuck out. David Falk freaked the fuck out when the Wizards wouldn't work him out for the number one pick the year that John Wall was the number one pick.
Well, shouts to you, David Falk, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it counts for anything, but there's kind of something to be said for that. You know, So that makes me nervous. And I went back and looked at his games last year and he put up huge numbers against WAC competition and he like borderline sucked against good teams. So that's also equally concerning.
And yes, like there's a reason you drafted him, like just roll him out.
Exactly. And he is the man. And he is, you know, we spent a little bit of time with him over the summer and he's the man. Like he's just a nice, really good kid and wants to be great. And the Lakers just aren't letting him be great.
I mean, he's not going to be great right now.
No, but I mean, I'm saying that he wants to be good. And that, you know, they can't say that about everybody. A lot of guys in the league, you know, won't come out in a minute. But we've seen guys who are kind of just in it for the check and, you know, making that big money. And they're good enough that they can play, you know, 5 to 7 years. You know, to be great, to be Steph Curry great, you got to have a certain mindset. You know, you got to be in the gym at 4 a.m.
You mean to be Kristaps great?
Ooh,
why don't you just do the Porzingis? Give me the Porzingis, please. Rant or whatever you want to call it. Just lay it on me. Let me hear it.
Here's the thing.
Let me bathe in it.
I'm not even a Knicks fan, though, is the thing. Like, I don't even fuck with the Knicks. Right, after having fucked with them for like pretty much
that's
25
all I get.
5 years. Hold on, I'm getting into it, but I think Knicks fans are like honestly like kind of stupid, like for, and I think there's about 15 to 20 years of proof of this, because you know they'll just, there's this quote unquote the smartest fans in the world are at New York. Dog, Madison Square Garden is basically like it's like a Broadway show now. Like it's about being seen there. It's not about being, you know, the people in the rafters are who are Knicks fans. Like they got priced out of seats in the Garden.
But isn't that kind of true everywhere though? Are you saying it's more amplified in New York?
I think Portland has great fans. I think like the Kings, even though they're trash, have great fans. I think the Cavs have great fans, you know, and you know, Knicks fans, you know, I don't know, man. It's just, they want everything so quickly. First, you know, it was, oh, Amari's here. Oh, let's get rid of Amari. Okay. Let's get rid of Melo. Oh my God. Jeremy Lin's here. He's a savior. Mm. You know, so
you think they're not going to be able to appreciate Porzingis?
No, I think,
or they're over appreciating too early.
Exactly. I think, but the thing is, you know, even when he doesn't, there's been games he hasn't played well, but he'll have like that one highlight and everyone goes nuts. And that's very cool. And I think the Knicks have given up on young guys way too early, which is always like, if you look at that team that they traded away to get Melo, you know, Danilo Gallinari, Wilson Chandler.
That entire team they traded away.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they gave up on Trevor Ariza early. You know, these guys who aren't superstars, but, you know, had they developed.
God, this is the most depressing Porzingis conversation
I haven't even gotten into the Porzingis yet.
Get into it.
I mean, number one, he's like the nicest, illest human being of all time.
So ill.
Yeah, super smart, super cool. Friendly. Just a really, really good kid.
I mean, keep in mind that this is a dude that I told him he could go out to dinner with any three people on the planet. And he said, Rihanna, I think, what did he say? Rihanna, Beyonce, and Bill Clinton, so we could make it a double date. Honestly, you probably just should have retired after saying that. Your career's not going any up from there at all.
That's pretty much the end of the interview right there. So, but no, he's the man, dude. And he's 7'3". We were having this conversation.
Sorry, he said Jay-Z, not Bill Clinton. I don't know where the hell I got that. I think that was Bobby Portis's answer, actually. Also a legend. Everybody go follow Bobby Portis on Twitter, man. Be wilding on Twitter.
Really, I love him, man.
Don't say anything bad at him though, because he'll just smack fans too. He did something today, like. Anyways, were you saying?
But not Porzingis. I mean, he's 7'3" and like can pretty much do everything on the court. It's pretty remarkable how good he is at still being a teen. He's 19, 20. I think he just turned 20, right? I mean, it's unreal. I'm not gonna get too crazy yet because I'm minorly concerned that he's going to be hurt a lot just because he's so goddamn big. And
I mean that's what Phil Jackson said right before the season. He was like,
he was hurt a lot
with Sean Bradley.
Yeah, you know, he got hurt in their workout, you know, the pre-draft workout. And he had a few non-contact injuries, so I'm a little worried about that. But I mean, you can't deny his greatness. And
29 and 11, like,
and just
like, let me ask you a stupid question, but do you think Melo is at all pissed?
Yeah,
like this dude coming in, everyone in New York loves Kristaps.
Yeah,
like,
I think he's,
what
he's
about
probably,
me, like, or you think he just doesn't care at all? He's Melo, he goes home to his money and his wife, like, he's good.
Melo is like,
he sleeps at night,
also like so cool and so laid back and so approachable that he might be generally happy for him. But I think there is a hint of jealousy, especially,
I'm not saying it's consuming him, but just like a hint of like, hello, I'm still one of the 10 best players in this league.
I work at an NBA related media outlet that is not Slam, that I'm not going to say this. And
part-time though,
there were people talking, and these are fans talking and saying that they should trade Melo and get,
I mean, that's obvious. That's what I mean though. I mean, that's so abundantly ridiculous.
Why the fuck would you do that?
It's just beyond, I mean, anyone says that, hang up.
Why the fuck would you trade him? Like, he's still so good. Like, you got to let him ride out. And the thing is, like, I think to that point, he's probably so happy that he has help this year because he was just stuck in such a bad situation last year. And
let me ask you another possibly stupid. Are the Knicks good? Are the Knicks good?
No, because they play Lou Amundsen in crunch time.
Okay. Minutes. There's your answer.
Okay, the big thing, the big qualm I have with watching the Knicks right now is, I mean, I still hate watch them, although I do love, I've always loved Melo. And I mean, you got to love Porzingis, but their crunch time lineups have been like Melo, Lance Thomas, Lang Galloway, Lou Amundsen, and like a rotating cast of like a Flalo.
There's a lot of
Jose Calderon.
So
no, but you just paid Robin Lopez, Aaron Aflalo, what's Kyle O'Quinn. You drafted Kristaps Porzingis fourth overall, and like you're not going to play them in crunch time. Why not?
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with Derek Fisher's weird beard.
I just think he's a terrible coach. Weird. Like if you're going to invest that much into these guys, you got to play them, especially in like, why would you pay Robin Lopez all that cash if you're not going to pay him with 3 minutes, 4 minutes to go in a game, in a close game?
It does seem strange.
You know, it's just, it doesn't make sense. Are they good? I think they've been playing better than what their record says. I think, you know, they had a few, like they could have won that Charlotte game when Porzingis hit that last second shot.
True.
I think they could be like, what are they at right now?
500.
Yeah.
500.
I mean, I think they could be like 8-4, but I don't know, man. Like they didn't beat the Cavs. Like that's all that matters. You know, you got to beat the good teams. You know, you can beat up on Charlotte and all these teams all you want. They got cracked by Atlanta. You know, I think they played Brooklyn coming up. They probably win that game. So they lost to Milwaukee. You know, they're not beating the good teams. If I want to see how they do on like a West Coast stretch before I put any money down on the Knicks.
Cause I think there's a large, you know, swath of people out there who are just like, yo, the Knicks are good.
Yeah. But
I mean, Pete can't even bring himself to words. He's rubbing his eyes. He can't even bring himself to speak on the matter.
Dog, they haven't won in like since the 70s. Like, it's tough to get excited about. I mean,
you don't want any playoff fever, MSG? Let's get it.
I'm not a Knicks fan, dog.
Neither am I.
Pistons fan.
No, both of us happen to be recording this podcast in New York City. I had to ask the question. I'm sorry. We've already spent too much time on the Knicks.
Yeah, nah, and you're definitely right. but I think we should wrap this up. I got to shout out Andre Drummond. I got to shout out Stan.
Dab.
I got to shout out Stan Johnson.
Dab.
I got to shout out Reggie Jackson.
Dab.
I got to shout out Coach Van Gundy.
That double dab.
Got to shout out Brandon Jennings.
Triple dab.
Yo, got to shout out Ben Osborne.
Slight dab.
Got to shout out our boy Figman.
Oh, mega dab.
Got to shout out the really out here boys.
Dab.
Got to shout out my man Kevin Casey in the corner.
Dab.
I got to shout out Paul Rivera.
Dab.
I got to shout out Eric Newman.
Dab.
I got to shout out Lloyd Sweet Pea Daniels.
OG dab.
I got to shout out my mother.
Dab.
I got to shout out my father.
Dab.
I got to shout out my dog, Noble. Rest in peace.
It's dog dab.
I got to shout out Chris Dunn.
Dunn dab.
I got to shout out Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Coming to New York this weekend.
Yo.
Super dab.
Son, speaking of which, are you going to hit that up next week?
I might have to, dog. Man. I don't give a flying fuck about the three other teams, but Ben Simmons at Barclays, it's kind of lit.
Might have to be in there. We might have to report live from Barclays Center next week.
Get him on the podcast. Hell,
oh shit, man, he's about to do Francesa this week.
Dab.
Number one. Yeah, you got anyone you want to shout out?
I mean, just the rest of the Pistons roster as well. You know, clearly one of our favorite teams.
Tell him.
Yeah, didn't spend nearly enough time speaking about the Pistons, but maybe next time.
Yeah, shout out Russ Westbrook. just for having the illest post-game quotes of all time.
Shout out Russ Bankston as well, who I saw last night.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Slam fam.
Shout out Rudy Gobert.
Tower of Power.
I'm just looking through the teams and shouting out random people. Shout out nobody on the Chicago Bulls. Shout out Paul George. Bouncing back. We see you, Pa.
Shout out to no one on the Pelicans either. Jesus.
Nah. I'm not. We're not even gonna get into that. We're not talking about trash. We're not talking about trash teams. Yeah, we out. Slam. Respect the game. Slam podcast volume one. To be determined if there'll be a volume two. We'll see what the general reception is. This might be a one and done.
Direct all your Knicks fan hate or whatever to Pete. That was Peter, not Abe. Just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I don't apologize for any of that shit, man. I really don't. I said it. I meant it. So. All right. Thanks for listening. Abe, thank you for being here.
Of course,
I think we'll both be back next week, absolutely. Possibly with Lord Figgins.
Hopefully you don't get fired between now and then.
Well, I don't really have a true job title to get fired from, so I think I'll be good. All right, yo. Thanks. Of course, follow us, Slam Online on Twitter, Instagram, slamonline.com. Literally posting every single highlight, every single newsworthy thing.
Hey.
We're going to, and we're not going to do strictly NBA. We're going to be doing college as the season rolls along slightly.
Slam 193 on newsstands right now. Steph Curry on the cover.
Facts. Slam 194 coming next week.
Oh, we think so. Stay tuned.
Yeah. We out here, man.